Hello, welcome to the Energy Question with David Blackman. I'm your host, David Blackman, here in Texas. And my special guest today is Yemi Akinkugbe, who is the Chief Excellence Officer for CNX Resources in Pittsburgh. Yemi, how are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you very much, David. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope it's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. It's a stormy day here in Texas, so I hope you're doing better than we are.
Well, we're not complaining. It's sunny outside, and the temperature is really great. At least for going out to go have fun. We were hoping for it to be a little colder, but we'll take all we got.
Well, let's start before we get into Q&A about the things you're working on. I think it's important to start with just talking about, of course, CNX is a longtime producer in the Utica, the Appalachian Basin, the Marcellus Shale, with a long history in the region and one of the leading companies up there. But talk about what your portfolio is as the Chief Excellence Officer at the company.
Yeah, well, as the Chief Excellence Officer, one of my, initially, my first focus was kind of like supporting and getting everything going. I had a portfolio of IT, land, permitting, a part of the operations, you name it. I mean, I had a huge portfolio supporting the execution of our vision. And now that those are starting to go on, I mean, one of the key things I'm focusing right now is making sure people understand our vision, making sure people understand what that vision means for the region, you know, that we have come to call home for almost 160 years. You know, our CEO, Nick Deal, has always said, you know, when we were incorporated, Abe Lincoln was the president of the United States a long time ago. And so, I mean, making sure that people truly understand the potential of the resources that we have in the Appalachian region in order to revitalize the economy, in order to bring back manufacturing into the region and make, you know, as a matter of fact, the Appalachian region being the manufacturing hub of the United States, while, you know, creating, you know, life and family sustaining wages, for everyone in the region, especially the underserved and the underrepresented community. So that is, you know, that's our focus. That's our mission. That's what we're executing going forward. You know, we're quite excited about it for our company and also for the region.
Yeah, and you know, to that end, you recently published this comprehensive vision plan called Appalachia First, which really incorporates the concepts you're talking about. And you know, it occurs to me that natural gas has such a central role to play in all that. Talk about the main elements of the plan, the Appalachia First plan, first of all.
Yeah, the simple way, you know, to understand the Appalachia First plan, which we launched it December of last year, but it has been, quite frankly, you know, I say it has been pretty much the DNA of our company all along. And the way to think about it is, you know, produce it here, use it here first. That's a simple way of, you know, how to summarize that entire vision that we laid out. And the vision, you know, is based on the fact that we have this natural resource, you know, in the United States, a clean, efficient, reliable resource called natural gas. And it is time for us to embrace it and use it. The potential for natural gas, we're still discovering that potential going forward. Because one of the things we're starting to see is when it comes to emission, you know, when it comes to power generation, when it comes to, you know, other sources of manufacturing, natural gas is the bedrock of it. It is primarily the DNA of, you know, unleashing manufacturing in the region. And our focus there is let's start to produce it here. Our resource, you know, to, you know, countries out there, some of them hostile countries, some of them, strategic competitors to the United States, shipping our low cost, efficient there to support their economy. And then they are actually shipping manufacturing products for us at higher cost, or probably, you know, some level of margin,
right,
with not so, you know, what I'll call not so great emissions profile or emission structure or regulatory structure, or you can even say, you know, human capital management processes that happen there. And we're taking all of those products. No, we can create those products right in the Appalachian region, right within our region, production and actually do it in a very efficient job creating manufacturing or leasing map.
Yeah, you know, my history with Nick goes back to 2020. I actually interviewed him for a profile I did of the company at that time, and he was already talking about these concepts in that interview. So this vision is something he's kind of had rolling around in his mind, at least elements of it, for quite some time now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, that has been, you know, how we've always operated.
Yeah,
our view has always been, hey, our products are made in America. They will always be made in America, and the focus for it is to continue to improve the American economy, the American strategic opportunities, and also when you're looking at the region, the Appalachian region, to continue to bolster the region and improve manufacturing within the region. So that has been what I'll call, you know, the foundation of the company, making sure people understand it, making sure people appreciate the opportunities that we have in the Appalachian region has been, quite frankly, you know, for Nick as well, has been, you know, almost all through his career, how he's talking to people, getting people to understand that this is an opportunity potentially of a generation. It is time for us to kind of lay hold to it and run with it.
And it's not, it doesn't involve natural gas serving as a bridge fuel, right? The way the opposition likes to always characterize natural gas. I hear Nick say a lot, natural gas is a catalyst, not a bridge for all of this. I mean, these are long-term endeavors, elements of this plan you're talking about, not something for the next 5 years while everything's phased out and changed.
Absolutely not. You are absolutely right. I mean, we look at it, it is a catalyst fuel. You know, any growing economy, low cost, efficient energy is always the lifeblood of it. And in essence, in order for you to catalyze anything, if you look at history, you need efficient energy, stable, efficient, reliable energy. And in essence, we look at it that this natural gas, this clean natural gas, is a catalyst is a catalyst to manufacturing, is a catalyst for innovation. It is a catalyst, you know, that creates this new development that everybody, you know, talks about. But from our standpoint, that development has started right now. You know, we have things we've started, again, to show people that this is not something, like you said, this is not, you know, a vision, you know, for 4, 5, or 6 years or 10 years here. This is a vision for now. That's our view of it, a vision for now. And, you know, we've been partnering with, you know, like-minded companies out there that have the same mindset as it. Innovation, bring in manufacturing, bring in technology to low cost, you know, efficient energy, which is natural gas here, is purely, you know, a catalyst for the economy, catalyst for the region. And you'll see it affects every aspect of the economy. It's not just, you know, you're not just looking at just manufacturing. You see, you know, parts of it in healthcare. You see parts of it in just, you know, general product manufacturing all across. So we look at it as a broad spectrum. How natural gas will be, not should be, but will be the catalyst for development going.
Yeah, and one of the elements you talk about, and I reviewed your slide deck and all the materials in preparation for this, is the fact that the infrastructure is already there in the region to execute this, right? And furthermore, even to further emphasize that, I think, is the fact that the lack of infrastructure in terms of pipeline takeaway capacity to move this natural gas to New England, as an example, you know, makes it even more compelling case to make better use of the Marcellus and Utica gas there in the Appalachia region, because it's there, it's inexpensive, and it doesn't make sense to do anything else with it, right?
You know, it'll surprise a lot of people to know that 50% of the United States population is within a day's drive.
That's an amazing statistic.
A day's drive from this region. And in essence, this is the best market for, you know, the opportunity that this, you know, natural gas will create. Yes, I mean, the pipelines, the infrastructures are in place. The infrastructures are all in place, you know, for production, for delivery, and for use. The key thing is for us to embrace it, because the opportunity for the use, when you're looking at transportation, I mean, we're not even, you know, we're talking about manufacturing, but when you start looking at daily life use, which is significantly on the transportation side, the opportunities are significant when you're looking at it from the cost saving standpoint, when you're looking at it from the emission standpoint. So we have all the infrastructure here to be able to achieve the vision today, quite frankly.
A minute ago, you talked about partnering with other companies in these projects. And one thing I read about recently in the Wall Street Journal is this project that you're involved with two companies called Origin Materials, Inc. and New Light Technologies, Inc. that involves CNX recovering natural gas from a coal mine, coal seam natural gas, providing it for this project that is going to manufacture drinking straws and other products that are normally made from plastics. They're going to make these products from the carbon emissions from the natural gas. Talk about your involvement in that and how that's all going to work.
It is fascinating. And, you know, here is a California-based company that is seeing the opportunities, the significant opportunities that natural gas, you know, brings to the table here. New Light, you know, they're based in California, but they're moving their plan. The plan is to move the build a plant in Hannibal in Ohio. And the basis for it, you know, these are very, very, very smart people. I wouldn't do justice to the technicalities of what they're doing.
Yeah.
I have to say in a simplistic manner, you know, they found microorganisms that will consume captured methane, you know, from coal mines. They will consume captured methane or just methane. And they, while, you know, as capturing methane, they will produce pellets that can be formed into, you know, plastic products, you know, straws, plates, cups, you know, potentially in some of our everyday wearables, like, you know, probably glasses someday and shoes someday. And these are biodegradable. You know,
right.
The goal for it is when this gets into the ocean, they biodegrade. When they're on the ground, they degrade. So this is an opportunity to achieve, you know, I'll probably say three things. One, address emissions. They're consuming methane, you know, they're consuming greenhouse gas. As they're consuming greenhouse gas, they're producing a biodegradable plastic, salt and plastic.
Right.
And the third part of it is now they're creating manufacturing. This planet itself is a manufacturing process that will create jobs and at the same time continue to bolster the economy of that region. And you can imagine, based off of this, what I'll call the second, third, or fourth tier of support to this entire manufacturing process. That is innovation, you know, in practice. That is actually economic growth in practice by actually, you know, solving what I'll call practical problems and at the same time doing it in a very, very efficient, using the resource, because they found the you know, the low cost resource, or using the resource within our region.
Yeah, and this is one of the areas of innovation and energy that so many people are just not aware of, is the potential to do all these kinds of innovative, creative things with carbon. I mean, carbon, all sorts of products can be manufactured from carbon itself by capturing emissions at tailgates of plants. I told you before we started the recording that there's a company in Houston I interviewed last year that's doing a similar kind of thing down there. They're working with Oxy on that down in Corpus Christi. But that's one of the areas of our economy that I think has just amazing growth potential as more and more people become aware of the possibilities. So it's great to see CNX engaged in a project like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you hit a chord, you know, saying that the carbon, we need carbon for existence.
Yes.
Sometimes when the discussion, the mention of carbon, you know, people kind of like react. We need carbon. Human beings need carbon for existence. And, you know, when we're looking at, you know, the energy portfolio of the United States as a whole, carbon is going to, you know, especially when it comes to natural gas, will be a very critical part of that portfolio. Inevitably, again, because of some of the things we've talked about, is catalyst nature and continue to build and, you know, advance our economy as we know it today.
Another aspect of this, and part of what CNX has been working on is alternative fuels. You guys have had a partnership now in place with the Pittsburgh International Airport, I guess for a decade now, in which you're providing the natural gas to convert at least part of their fleet, maybe their whole fleet of vehicles, to run on compressed natural gas, and then also create liquefied natural gas as alternative jet fuel, right? A lower carbon kind of jet fuel there for the airport?
Yeah, so our partnership with, like you said, with the airport is about a decade now. And, the first phase of it was, the signing of the lease for us to produce natural gas on the resource that they had on there. And, one of the benefits for them to kind of like have royalties and new revenue stream from that. It's morphed now to the second phase of use of that natural gas that is produced. It's amazing. I mean, kind of like looking at how, one aspect of it was just produce and revenue from that. The other aspect is now let's use, this resource that we're producing, within the airport. So the first of it was for power generation. The airport right now, they are completely off the grid. They're using the produced natural gas, which is kind of like funneling into a microgrid. Either in addition to solar panels, and they are absolutely off the grid. They are self, sustained when it comes to energy generation. And in essence, it saves them, almost $1 million in energy costs a year. But even on the emission standpoint, they're seeing significant benefit with that microgrid go using natural gas. I think they said they've seen reduction about 8.2 million tons of CO2e on their emissions profile. Now we're now moving that even further, that partnership even further, wherein we are bringing something uniquely CNX even again into the picture, when we are creating new technology to create what we are calling natural gas derivatives on site, we're creating on site, and the goal for that is to displace the heavier fuels, the heavier hydrocarbons, when you're talking about jet fuels, when you're talking about diesel, in essence, converting the airline industry to LNG and converting, kind of like the transportation systems that they have there from diesel to CNG. By doing that, there's a massive opportunity of reducing, first of all, cost, significantly. You're looking at potentially, 30 to 60% in cost reduction, but at the same time, also reducing emissions profile. The airport has a mission goal. We see this, this partnership as an opportunity to achieve two things: economic benefits, job creation, but at the same time, improving their emissions profile going forward. So we're very, very excited about that. I said uniquely CNX because the technology CNX is actually creating, but at the same time is also unique to, part of our well profile that we have there, leveraging, again, this is the cost benefit of it, when we're leveraging the properties of the well, especially Utica well, to create this LNG, this derivatives on site. We're really excited about it. It's going through the process. The innovation is going through testing process right now. What we're looking forward is once this starts, there's going to be significant opportunity both for the airport, both for CNA, and also
that's fantastic. That's the kind of ESG is on everyone's mind right now, right? And so I look at a project like that. That's going to help both CNX and Pittsburgh International Airport with their ESG scores and ESG ratings, right? And lower the emissions profile there at the airport, which is just a win-win all around for everybody.
And that's precisely what the Appalachia First vision is. This is a local airport. This is a local resource. This is local innovation that could revolutionize the transportation industry as we know it today. That is Appalachia First, for you. And it's now. It's not. This is not something we're thinking, hey, look, we're thinking about this in 5, 6, 7, 8 years in the future. No, this is a now opportunity for us to start executing.
Yeah, and in interviews like this, I always tend to focus almost exclusively on environmental concerns and energy concerns. This is also about jobs and economic stimulus there for the region, and not just any jobs, pretty well-paying jobs involved in these kinds of manufacturing processes you're talking about, correct?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at our company, I mean, and this is maybe the best way to, but if you look at our company, CNX, I think we're about, 460, 470 people within the company. But when you look at the added job, you know, from service providers, from support enterprises all around us, now we're starting to look at multiple thousands. Now, when you're looking at the airport, I mean, we could look at airport employees as well. You could see the ripple effect, the second, third, or fourth effect of, you know, that particular enterprise. Now, when we're talking about, you know, this, even the and that's what I meant when we're talking about the New Light manufacturing, their plant that they're going to bring into Hannibal, there are multiple support teams that are going to actually support that business. That's additional job. That's, you know, family sustaining well and good technology paying jobs associated with it. When we're talking about the airport, exactly the same thing. When we're looking at this new approach to natural gas derivatives, to transportation, you know, as we know it today, when we're looking at, you know, systems and processes of generating LNG on site and CNG on site, the plan, the processes associated with that, the support staff, the support teams associated with that, the support staff, support team of delivering of that. I can keep going. There is significant opportunity for job creation and economic development when we start talking about using this resource loop.
You mentioned the grid a little bit ago, and I'd be remiss in not talking about that aspect of this too, because one of the key drivers of all this that your plan talks about is that the fact that Appalachia as a region doesn't have any distinct advantage where wind and solar energy are concerned. Talk about why that's a significant driver in the creation of this plan.
Yeah, so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the energy portfolio, and we always make sure people understand that, you know, we're not anti-solar, we're not anti-wind. Our view of it is, let's be transparent when it comes to the, you know, all the aspects, you know, all the constituents within the United States energy portfolio. So when you're looking at solar, okay, solar, again, when you look at the irradiance, that's in the sun exposure in our region versus, say, for example, you know, in California, maybe Southern California or, you know, Arizona and those other areas, is a lot more. It's much more efficient, you know, it's a lot more efficient there. And especially when you're talking about the cost associated with kind of like building those infrastructures, it's significant. So if you're going to invest in something like that, you want to invest in where it is most efficient. So where I take on it is that it works, you know, very well there, especially, again, our take on it is, let's just make sure when it comes to the emissions profile of those constituents in the energy portfolio, that is transparent, because a lot of people, they tend to gloss over or tend to not ignore the aspect or the emissions associated with making solar panels. And sometimes the labor practices in some places when it comes to making people tend to just ignore that. Those are significant ESG issues that we need to always be cognizant of. And when we're talking about emissions, we're talking about ESG when it comes to energy portfolio, we got to be very transparent on it. When you're talking about wind is another one. With all the hills, even driving here from work here to home, there are all kinds of mountains and hills that I see. There's so many ridge lines that we have. You can't put a windmill, kind of like what some folks call holler around here. It's not going to work. So when you're looking at the real estate for wind, there's not so many here. But if you're looking at Central America, kind of like the flat, you're looking at kind of like some of the wind tunnels around there, great. But when you come to Appalachia, the energy that is well fitted within Appalachia is natural gas. It's clean, it's efficient, and may I say, is very reliable when it comes to, you know, what it's used for. And that is the essence of, you know, what we discussed in the Appalachia First, that it is uniquely Appalachia. It is uniquely suited for Appalachia, for the development and the economic growth of Appalachia.
Well, and I know that Nick, and I, when I interviewed him, he was keenly concerned about it. You know, I was also concerned about the reliability of the grid, right? And the fact that we were seeing increasing interruptions during severe weather events, same kind of considerations we have here in Texas. And when you have this amazing abundant resource there that makes so much sense to use for power generation. It just seems kind of crazy not to take advantage of that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, sometimes it boggles your mind, because when you look at it from the standpoint of, hey, let's look at it practically, okay? Let's take away sentiments out of it. Let's just look at it practically. Let's look at the physics associated with it. Let's look at, you know, the math, the chemistry, the science aspect of it. Because the most important thing is one thing, you know, just having power. It's another thing, having reliable power. I grew up, you know, in a country where, yeah, there is power, but it has almost zero reliability. You know, and once the reliability is zero, there's no power. There is no development. There's no opportunity for, you know, for economic growth associated with that. And, you know, and that's one of the things we try, you know, convey, that just look at the practicality of this. And it's not just us. And even when you look at some of this grid operators, you know, PJM in some form, they've mentioned it. They've been talking about it, that we have to be very careful. We don't want to find ourselves at some pockets of the country, you know, or some, you know, some countries, you know, probably, for example, in Europe, when, you know, all of a sudden you run into an issue regarding energy reliability or energy disappearance, you know, as we know it today. We've developed and we've built a system that is cost efficient. Now, I always say, you always hear me say, it is cost efficient, it is abundant, it secures our energy security, and it is very reliable, you know, tried and tested reliability. Now, you know, are there areas, you know, visions will continue to come up when we make it cleaner. That's our view with regards to, you know, diving into this very, very, very expensive systems that we have, you know, out there regarding, again, solar, and that they're not as reliable. They're not reliable in some situations, right, because of changing weather, because of, you know, issues that we've seen, you know, that have developed based off of some of their operational capabilities in some situations. We don't want to regress as a country. We don't want to regress. And that's why it is very important that everybody understands the limitations of all, you know, this, you know, all the constituents within the energy portfolio. And again, we play to our strength. We play to our strengths to make sure we continue to assure reliability while at the same time building our economy going forward.
And this is why, in a nutshell, I always enjoy writing and talking about CNX Resources, folks, because here's a company that's working on the full cycle of the energy picture here. They're not just producing the natural gas and selling it. They're producing the gas, they're delivering the gas, they're replacing dirtier fuels with the gas, and they're working on using the emissions from the gas to create other products, okay? They're working on the full cycle of the energy system, and it's really one of the most creative companies in the whole industry. And Yemi, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview with me today.
Thank you very much, David. It's been a pleasure, you know, talking to you. You're well in tune of our company, and I appreciate, you know, you following us and speaking about, you know, the opportunities and the benefit of this product that we have come to love because of the benefit it brings, quite frankly, to humanity.
Well, for folks who would like to find out more about your plan, just work. Can they go to find it? I know at your homepage there is where I found all the materials related to it, and that is, I can't remember the web address.
Yeah, just go to www.cnx.com. In there, you'll find the Positive Energy Hub, or you can go to www.positiveenergyhub.com, and you will find, you know, all. I mean, our goal is also to educate people. You find up, you know, where we are putting out editorials to educate people on the benefits, and also, you know, give them enough information when it comes to kind of like the full energy portfolio that is out there today. But that's where to find the Appalachia First vision. If you want to read up on it, it is in there. And also all other resources, all other information. And I also encourage folks to, you know, we have a Twitter hub, a Twitter handle, CNX.
Right.
And Nick DeLuyus, CEO, he also has one. He always puts out information out there. And also within LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yeah.
So our goal is to, you know, use all of this outlets to make sure people are well informed regarding energy and energy policy as a whole.
Well, fantastic. This is a company that knows how to communicate, folks. Yemi, I can't thank you enough. That's all we got for today, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you very much, David. Appreciate it.